Last year, my family discovered something that was really special. We went to the library and we checked out a CD, and this CD played over and over in our car or wherever we were. The CD played from December all the way through January. We loved it so much. It was just this beautiful music that we truly enjoyed together. And I'm going to let you guys hear a bit of this music, and I even found a video. Prepare to be touched and blessed by this wonderful music. See if we can... Now, can you imagine that over and over? December, I hesitated to show you this video. That's from the Jingle Cats, I think, Meowie Christmas, and we haven't checked it out from the library yet. So if you belong to White River Township Library, please don't check it out because we haven't got it yet. But this is just beautiful. What a Christmas discovery, eh? I can see your envy. You may have your own Christmas discoveries that you've made, whether it's some sort of entertainment or experience that you do every year or you did once. Beautiful music. That maybe there's some recipes on some food or some drinks that you go with. And we have these memories that we've made over the years. Some of them are funny. Some of them are very meaningful and emotional. Others are warm, but we all have these memories where we look back on Christmases past, and some of them are just really, really good. So one of the things that I've discovered over the last few years in talking with people is that for a lot of people, Christmas tends to be a very stressful time of the year. Now, not everybody's like Mr. Christmas over here, Joshua Mott in the tie, and just loves everything about Christmas. But a lot of people report just experiencing a lot of anxiety and stress during this time. Spending money. A lot of us are stressed because we're trying to spend money we don't have, and we're going to malls that are crowded or online or whatever we're doing, and shopping is not something that we enjoy. Some of us are weary from just trying to navigate different families and trying to keep different people happy and seeing if it all can work out. Some of us are tired of cooking and tired of cleaning. There's just more to be made, more to clean, people to come over. Some of us are tired from decorating, wrapping presents, attending parties, and that's going to pick up here in the next few weeks, but it can be overwhelming. A lot of times people just feel overwhelmed at Christmas. We can be overstimulated, too much to do, too much money to spend, too much energy to use up. And it just can really be a time that we look forward to, and it can start with these big expectations of what's going to happen this year. And a lot of times Christmas for us in the last few years maybe has ended in disappointment. Maybe it just seemed like it's gotten too commercial. But we have the potential to really get bogged down during the Christmas season from all these stresses. And today we're going to be looking at the first Christmas story, and we're going to be trying to discover some potential to maybe have more peace. There are four Gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And of those four Gospels, two of those Gospels, Matthew and Luke, tell about the Christmas story. We're going to be in Luke for most of this series. Luke takes Mary's perspective, and we have angels in Luke. We have angels in both. We have the shepherds in Luke, and Matthew focuses more on Joseph and his family. And so today we are going to be in Matthew, and if you want to read with me, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now, the Magi are mysterious people in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew's version of the Christmas story. The Magi don't show up in any other place in Scripture. Luke doesn't talk about them. But the Magi, we also sometimes call them wise men or three kings. You know the song, right? We three kings of Orient are meow, 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 meow. You know that one, right? And the reason why we talk about three is because, not because we know how many Magi there were, but because of the three gifts that they presented Jesus, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So these are mysterious people from the east. We don't know where in the east. We just know it was east somewhere. And then they made this journey. They saw something in the stars, and they came to find the one who had been born King of the Jews. So we'll move on in there. Matthew 2:3, it says, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, King Herod was also called Herod the Great. There are a few different Herods in the Bible. There's a Herod involved when Jesus later, 30-some years later, when Jesus dies. But this is who we call King Herod the Great. He lived from 73 B.C., and he died in 4 B.C. That's why most people, if they talk about when Jesus was born, they typically say 4 B.C., 4 before Christ. So that's when King Herod died, and he was a powerful and very successful man in many ways. He was a builder. He'd even completed the second Jewish temple, and he did a nice job. There were palaces that bore his name. He expanded Jerusalem, and he was politically a pretty successful leader. Why was it? It's interesting that Matthew points out that when King Herod heard about Jesus, that he was disturbed. And you think, why was it that Herod was disturbed? Well, there's a lot of different aspects of Herod's life that we know from history that we could talk about. And one of them was that Herod was really good with holding on to his power, and any threats that he perceived, he didn't hesitate to pull the trigger. He was even known to kill his own sons if they were a threat. He was so violent, and he would wipe out any threat that disturbed him, that Caesar Augustus was said about half Jewish Herod, who, again, Jewish people do not eat pork, but he said, I would rather be his pig than one of his sons. That's what Caesar Augustus of Rome said about Herod, because he was known to be violent, kill his sons, kill whoever. He wanted to keep power, and he had a role in the Christmas story of ordering a genocide. He in the area, he just had all little boys killed, and that is Herod's role. He's a villain. He's one that we talk about, and he always the bad guy in the story. And it's thinking about this. Disturbed. I think today some people can hear about Jesus and still be disturbed. I recently read a book by a new atheist. His name's Sam Harris. And in the book, it's called Letters to a Christian Nation, he explains not only why Christians are stupid, but why Christianity is a threat to society. Like, it's disturbing some of the things that Christianity teaches and believing in Jesus as the Son of God. So there's still people who hear about Jesus and they're disturbed, think that it's a bad thing, think that following Jesus is actually harmful. So some people, maybe they hear about Jesus and they're disturbed. Jesus could be a threat to their independence, a threat to doing whatever they want to do. Some people can hear about Jesus and they can be disturbed. A few years ago, Jenny read in a Christmas devotional something that I had never noticed. And we're going to look at this story and point something out. So Matthew 2, 4 through 5, this is what Herod did. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, Herod inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people. The scribes, the teachers, these are the religious leaders. They heard about Jesus, and then what did they do after that? The text doesn't really say, but what it implies is that they didn't do anything about it. They gave an answer, and then they did nothing. They went back to their lives. One of the things that we need to point out about this story to understand it, too, is that Jerusalem was 5 miles from Bethlehem. It was really close. So in other words, if they were hearing these rumors about someone born king of the Jews, which should have been of great interest to these religious leaders, that they only had to go 5 miles to find out for themselves if there was any merit to this rumor. And they didn't. Now, 5 miles, yeah, it's a pretty long walk for us. They were better walkers than we are, though. And they could have gotten from Jerusalem to Bethlehem quicker than some of you got to church today from your own house. And they did not do it. Herod was hostile when he found out about Jesus. He was disturbed. But I think more people are like these religious leaders. They're indifferent. They hear and they're distracted. So why? Now, Matthew, again, he doesn't say why these religious leaders don't go, but maybe they were distracted. They had other things going on. They had families. They had problems. They were people like we are with issues and other things to worry about. And perhaps, again, this is not in the Bible. This is conjecture here. But let's just look at maybe the possibility of why these religious leaders didn't make the 5-mile trip from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, because they were just too distracted with everything going on in their whole lives. My thinking, they were too busy, worried about other stuff, and Jesus just seemed to be a distraction. They had other things to do. So again, Herod was disturbed. He saw Jesus as significant and needing to be eliminated. The teachers were distracted. Jesus was not significant to them, and they eliminated Jesus from their lives by just not even thinking about him. Different way of eliminating Jesus, but still an elimination nonetheless. So now we're going to focus our attention on the Magi. We're going to go back to the Magi, and it says this, "And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Herod was disturbed by Jesus. The teachers saw Jesus as distraction. And the Magi were out to discover. Which one are you going to be? Which one will you be? Are you going to be disturbed by Jesus? Is he going to be inconvenient? Something just to be eliminated, just so you don't have to be bothered with him? Is he just going to be a distraction of everything else, maybe off to the side, not very important, eliminated from your mind most of the time? Are you going to be like the wise men, the Magi, and set out, be seeking to discover him? Seeking to discover him. The Magi, Herod tried to take from Jesus his life. The chief priests did nothing, and the Magi ordered their whole lives around Jesus. It was very inconvenient for them to make this trip. They had way more than 5 miles, and they left their families probably at great cost to give gifts. They were out seeking. Our mission is to make disciples who make disciples. Jesus gave the church a very clear mission. All authority in heaven has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples. Jesus said it like this. Jesus said, "Follow me." So a disciple is someone who is following Jesus. "And I will make you." A disciple is someone who's being changed by Jesus, somebody who's being transformed by Jesus. Jesus isn't disturbing or even just a distraction, but he's worth seeking and being and changes. "And I will make you fishers of men." A disciple is someone who does the work of Jesus. That it's not about whatever's convenient and Jesus on the side, but a disciple, what we're trying to do, what we're trying to make, people who order their lives around Jesus, who think that he's worthy of seeking and tuning out some of those distractions. Jesus said some words about seeking too that are really good. He says in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." So Jesus says, seek first. There's a lot of things we could be seeking. And in Christmas, it's like that. There's so many things we could seek. Christmas presents, invitations, just going from here and there. But he reminds us, because everybody worries about all kinds of things, food and water and clothing. We all have those worries. But Jesus says, in the midst of all that anxiety, seek first the kingdom of God. And another thing that he says a few verses later in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, seek and you will find. Another way we could say that too would be keep seeking. Keep seeking. Jesus was really serious about us being people who seek him. And I think, why does God remain hidden? Why was Jesus so hard of a trip for the Magi? Why isn't God more obvious? And I think that God, Jesus, his will, I don't think the reason why it's hidden from us a lot of times is because God doesn't want us to see it. I think the reason why it's hidden is because God wants us to be seeking. Over and over, seek me, seek me. Perhaps the Magi were familiar with the prophet Jeremiah, who a few hundred years earlier had said this, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." So this Christmas, let's be like the Magi who lived out the word of God in the Old Testament and the New Testament of seeking, of not just seeing, being disturbed by God as cramping style or being distracted and just too busy to worry about anything God. But let's be like the Magi and set out to discover Jesus when times are bad, in the frustrations with families or long lines or prices or whatever it is. Let's set out this Christmas season to be like the Magi and be seeking Jesus, be seeking God with our whole heart. And I think if we do, we're going to be like the Magi. It says this, "When they saw the star, seek and you will find, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy." He put joy in there twice. And that's the natural byproduct after the seeking. But let us seek, and then I think the joy will come. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, it's good to be here this morning. And God, we pray that we experience you in a powerful way this Christmas season. You are the King of Kings, and you are the Lord of Lords. You are the God of this universe. And sometimes we lose sight of the kingdom of God because we get too caught up in our own little worlds. Sometimes we feel threatened and fear losing our power, freedom, and we might even be disturbed by you. Sometimes we just get busy and you seem like a distraction from what we need to do. And then sometimes you remind us that your kingdom is worth everything. And we remember to seek you first. Help us to be like the Magi who sought out to discover Jesus. And remind us of Jesus' words that the one who seeks finds. May our lives head in the direction of Jesus. And may we rejoice exceedingly with great joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.